Welcome to the Happy Ramp podcast. I am Ted Kluck, joined as always in studio by Barnabas Piper and Ronald J. Martin. Boys, it's getting gray and blustery outside. It's winter weather, and I'm in kind of a winter mood today.
Would you say, baby, it's cold outside?
Oh, baby, it is cold outside. I would never say that. But we're going to, Pipe, you're getting ahead of yourself, because we're going to get into an all Christmas episode. I don't want to give too much of a peek behind the curtain on like how we record these things, but we may do it right after this. But our first order of business, Pipe, is always that it's business. We want people to experience the joy of Lagares Roasters coffee this winter, this holiday season. I happen to know this about Lagares Roasters coffee. I'm not like a coffee expert, but I know that each time I've had it, it's been very hot. And I feel like I can vouch for the hotness of Lagares Roasters coffee. And
when it's cold outside, that's a real selling point.
It really is. Yeah. I mean, I wasn't going to make that leap for the listener, but I'm glad you just came right out and said it. It was the elephant in the room. So get yourself a hot cup of Lagares Roasters coffee. You can find it at happyrantpodcast.com. You can't buy it by the cup, full disclosure. But you can buy a bag and you can brew yourself a cup. You can pour over.
I think it might be fair to say you can't buy it by the cup yet. But yeah. The way that they're growing, it's probably going to end up somewhere where you can buy it by the cup.
It really will. And eventually it will put Starbucks out of business. So Starbucks, if you're listening, Starbucks corporate, and I know you are, we are coming for you.
Yeah, start looking for jobs, Howard Schultz.
Start looking for jobs. Get the resi tightened up because it's on, and we are coming for you. We're going to put you out of business, Starbucks, before Christmas. It's going to be a sad Christmas at Starbucks corporate. That's all I've got to say. But Pipe, you have some business to do as well. Why don't you tell us about this week's sponsor?
Yes, our sponsor this week is the same study that we promoted last week on behalf of Renee Adelsberger. It's the study of James that she has written, aimed primarily at students, so high school and college students. But having looked through it, I can tell you that it's not high school specific, and it's not not like gimmicky, cute stuff that people often do for the youth, the young folks. It's a really sound study with, just walking through the book of James, passage by passage, verse by verse, with background information, theological study, application questions to draw people into discussion or just deeper into thought. The whole theme of it is growing in maturity, so maturity in all of life, which whether you're 16 or like us grown-ups, we all could stand to grow in maturity. The coolest thing about it is that they're offering it entirely for free, they being Renee and her husband, Kevin. If you go to astudyofjames.com, you can download the study there. And then she's also done a podcast broken into 15 episodes to go with the 15 sessions of the study. So there's a teaching component there as well. So if you're doing it solo, if you're doing it in a group, a small group, or if you're in youth ministry and you want to assign it to your group or go through it all together, there's that component, which I think is a really cool feature, as opposed to just having to sort of stumble through if you're not as comfortable studying the text, or you benefit from somebody speaking into your study. That's all there as well. So again, astudyofjames.com. It's entirely for free. There's no limit on how it can be downloaded and used. They simply want to get it into the hands of students and people who are serious about studying the Word of God. So go to astudyofjames.com, download it there, check out the podcast. And Renee's actually done a couple other studies in the past. You can find those as well. So studyofjames.com, check it out. It will cost you nothing, and it will be well worth your time.
Boys, can I lay a little story on you from this Sunday?
Please do.
Yeah, so after church, we're having lunch with a friend. She happens to be a single woman from our church, and she shared that she was about to wade into the online dating world, and she wanted KK, my wife, and me to help her craft an online dating profile. And aside from thinking that was her first mistake, she began to describe the kind of guy that she's looking for. You know, loves the Lord, you know, maybe leans reformed theologically, but with a sense of humor, can laugh at stuff, can laugh at the reformed church. And I said, what you really want is a happy rant listener. And she thought about it for a minute and she agreed. And I posed the question to her, why don't you take out a sponsorship instead of spending whatever you're going to spend on online dating? Take out a sponsorship and have the product be you. And, you know, we can make our audience available to you for this purpose. And she was like, that's crazy. But, you know, the more we talked about it, the more into it she was. And I pitched it to you guys. And you guys are very coy and very cagey about it. And but not discouraging. You know, there's a difference between coy and cagey and just saying outright, that's a horrible idea. So I want to lay that on you now. Thinking about this empire that we're a part of, guys. I mean, we're really like the three of us are CEOs of a rocket ship of a corporation here. And the question is, where do we want to take this? And do we want to venture into the online dating realm? And I'm going to ask Ron first, because I feel like as our resident man of the cloth, Ron is also our most like ardent. He's our most image conscious co-host. So protecting the shield, as it were, protecting the image of the Happy Rant. So Big R, what do you have to say about this, man? How does this strike you?
I don't know, man. I think when you described it as cagey, I think that's ack. And by ack, I mean accurate. You know, I think you're right there with it. You know, it just depends what kind of image that we're trying to put out about ourselves, right? I mean, do we want to become matchmakers? I'm not saying that's not viable. I'm not saying that's not a direction we want to go. I'm not saying we shouldn't turn the program into just that even. I'm answering your question with two or three dozen other questions, right? Yeah.
So that's a really savvy PR move, by the way. When you have nothing you can willingly say definitively, just to deflect with further questions, I applaud that maneuver.
That's Ron. That's vintage Ron Martin. I love it.
Well, and I learned that from being a pastor all these years, because I think that's what pastors are really, really exceptional at, is not answering the question that everybody already knows they know the answer to, but they really just need to ask another question. And it's a way for them to hope that by that time they'll be done with their third cup of coffee and they can out, you know?
Yeah.
And I only experienced that, 30, 40 times a week. So I think, I don't know. I'm going to turn this one over to Pipe. My question is, if this is the direction we want to go, I think sky's the limit. I'm not opposed to it. I'm just unsure about it.
Okay. And I have a follow-up question for you, Big R, before we hear from Pipe, actually. You said something that was very intriguing to me. And my question to you is, what image do you think it is that we're trying to currently put out there?
You know, I think so here's my answer to that. That's a great question. Boy, T, you're really on. I mean, like from last app with the questions, you must be brushing up on this. You must have one of those kind of classrooms where you ask the students questions. That's what I'm gathering right now.
I do. That's a lot of classrooms, actually, to be fair. But my classroom would fall into that for sure.
Well, baby, we're all the better for it on the rant then. So I appreciate that. But, you know, what kind of image are we trying to put forth on here? I think that we're trying to say that a lot of things that a lot of people in our tribe deem to not be okay, we're trying to say they're okay-ish. They're okay-ish. Mm-hmm. And if a gal needs a little help with some online dating, then I guess we got to determine if it falls in line to us saying, you know what, that's okay-ish, right, baby? I mean, do you follow you follow my line of thinking?
I follow what you're saying. Yeah, I do. And Pipe,
hashtag okay-ish is what I'm trying to say.
Hashtag okay-ish. Pipe, what do you have to say about this?
Well, Ronnie brought up the phrase matchmaker, and I hesitate to own that. I'm not sure that the three of us are properly qualified to serve as that for others. I realize Ronnie's a pastor, and so that's one of the many, many things that falls on the expected of him category. But but I think it's more like leasing our platform.
Yeah,
you know, so absolutely. To help those who maybe don't have the same platform, don't want to go through all of the machinations to build a platform to get the exposure that might benefit them. I mean, that's what we do for any other sponsor, for Bible studies and books and coffee and missional wear and their coffee mugs and t-shirts and whatnot. So I think in that sense, it's not so much matchmaking as resourcing. We're enabling. And if we keep it in that realm, I'm very comfortable with it conceptually. Once we get into like having to take applicants and decide who is worthy of the platform and who might just be a little too crazy,
right?
I don't know. Then things could get a little uncomfortable.
Yeah, the sky's the limit. Yeah. That's kind of what I think. Also, Pipe, did you just hear what Pipe said? He said the word machinations.
I love that.
I mean, that deserves something. That deserves something today for using a word that flawlessly and in the moment.
That's a good word. That's solid. Boys, it's funny to me. One of the first things that you talk about, I feel like in a dating context, and this dovetails nicely with our first topic. Typically, you ask the other person what movies they like. And you ask what movies they like, not necessarily because you're both like film buffs and you really care about it, but as a means of getting to know the other person. And I want to ask you guys what movies you've seen recently and how they've struck you. Pipe, let's start with you. You strike me as the kind of guy who I know because we've had film discussions before. So you watch a lot of interesting movies, and I want to know what you've seen recently and what you've liked or disliked.
Yeah, I kind of go in movie watching binges where I'll go a couple months and see almost nothing. And then over the course of, you know, 3 weekends, see something like 4 or 5 movies. Yeah. The last couple I saw were, and I think I saw them on consecutive days, feeding into that binge idea. Mm-hmm. I saw the new Thor movie, Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah.
Which I think you brought up last episode, Ted. Yeah. And we had a very brief conversation about how we both thought it was a very fun movie.
It was great.
Even though you're not really a superhero movie guy. And I love the Marvel movies. I think they're lots of fun. I'm not a comic book guy. I never read comic books, but I think the movies are great fun.
Yeah.
Usually some combination of clever and exciting, and the way that they weave all the stories together is engaging. And I thought that was one of the better ones. Definitely the best Thor movie. Although, yeah, as somebody pointed out, that's kind of like winning the tallest midget contest.
Yeah. Dude, the first two Thor movies were borderline unwatchable. They were that bad.
Yeah, they had enough moments to keep them going, but amongst the Marvel movies, they're pretty far down there. Although I tend to think Captain America is the worst because he's just the most boring character.
Dude, Captain America is so boring, so boring. I mean,
it's Leave It to Beaver with muscles.
Absolutely. What are his powers? I mean, is he just like a poor Batman? Isn't he just a Batman without money? He doesn't have any powers.
He's like an enhanced G. Willikers guy.
Yeah.
You know, so he's got these muscles from this chemical enhancement.
He does?
Not, yes.
Oh.
And, dude, I mean, at least Batman's kind of glum and interesting. You know, he has some emotions that like are human.
But there's no like superpower though, right?
And, just and like the other thing is there's no alter ego with Captain America. Like, it's just him. It's just Captain Steve. Yeah. Whereas Batman is like, you got the Bruce Wayne guy and then you got the Batman guy, and the secret identity is part of the fun.
Sure.
Right. Unless it's played by Ben Affleck, in which case it sucks. But the other movie I saw was the Murder on the Orient Express.
Oh, dude, I've been wanting to see that so bad, but I heard it really got mixed reviews.
Mixed reviews is very fair. I read the book many years ago, the classic Agatha Christie novel, and you know, it's a classic mystery for a reason. The movie was I really wanted to like it. Mm-hmm. And there were things about it that I really liked. Like visually, it was beautiful. It was shot really well. The cast was strong. I mean, there weren't any performances that were particularly weak, but it was so flat.
Mm.
And it just dragged.
Mm.
Which I guess makes sense for a mystery. I mean, it's based on a mystery written in, you know, like 115 years ago. Mm. And there's just a different pace to sort of that style of literature. But nothing happened. And then there was a big reveal at the end. And it didn't have quite the sort of pizzazz you're looking for in a big mystery reveal. So now I'm not going to spoil it in terms of what the reveal was, but it was, I don't know, I'd call it a Redbox movie, not a theater movie.
Sure. Big R, what about awesome. You? What have you seen recently?
Yeah, the only thing I've seen recently, because as you guys well know, Big M is not a big movie buff or a big movie anything. So, you know, it's rare for us to hit the movies. But I saw, obviously, no surprise to you guys, I saw The Man Who Invented Christmas last week. I think
isn't
Thanksgiving
that the
week.
Jesus film?
It's not the Jesus film, Snarky Piper. It's not. It's the one starring Dan Stevens from Downton Abbey fame. And it was just it's a book. It's from a book about how Dickens wrote Christmas Carol and how he did it at a time in his life when all his book sales were down and he was broke and he had to come up with this story and how hard it was for him, and it turned his career around. So it was really fascinating.
Which guy was Dan Stevens on Downton Abbey?
Matthew.
Oh, Matthew. See, yes. I thought he was the least interesting Downton Abbey character for all the like same reasons as Captain America. Like there was just nothing. He was just apple-cheeked and good. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah, he was definitely, I mean, he was a likable character. And, you know, I think if you're one of the ladies, he might've been your favorite character, but you know, for the fellas, it was like, well, all right. You know, I mean, you know, I like him functionally, but
to go be a movie star, which I thought was like not the wisest choice either.
Yeah. Because you just don't, I mean, unless he ends up being like a Colin Firth or one of these British guys that crosses over into like lead rom-com guy, I don't know that it's going to happen for him. But, I saw it.
There's a guy.
What's that?
Colin Firth.
Yeah.
There's an actor I can get behind. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I mean, like, so, I mean, it was good. I mean, I think it could have been better, but it was okay. The movie I'm really looking forward to, man, is that, is Darkest Hour with Gary Oldman playing Winston Churchill. Mm. I mean, that looks like the money.
That does look good.
Yeah. So I'm really,
that's another actor who is enjoyable in just about any role he plays.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he's just so good, and he's like a chameleon, so he can play anything. You don't even recognize him as Churchill. Like, it's just like the job, like the makeup, it's just phenom. So, yeah, I think that's going to be good. And I want to see, you know, I want to see Last Jedi. So there's a couple coming up that I want to see. Mm-hmm. You know, that I'm going to make it out for.
So was The Man Who Invented Christmas? Was it a movie worth seeing? Because I made fun of it because it was a Christmas movie and it's you, but I do like Charles Dickens, especially. I really like A Christmas Carol as a book. So,
dude, yeah. And they weave that story into it in a really interesting way. I would say that was the most interesting thing about the movie. It's heartwarming without being like silly. And bring the girls, man, for sure. Mm. So,
noted.
Yeah. What about you, T? Where are you at with the movie thing, man? Are you getting out these days?
Yeah, I actually saw Thor Ragnarok over Thanksgiving, which Pipe and I have talked about our admiration for that movie, I think.
And by the way, until you said Ragnarok, I never had the time to stare at that word long enough to even know how to pronounce it. So thanks for clearing that up in my head.
Yeah, I don't know what it means. You know? I have no idea about the backstory. I don't read the comic books either. I have no dog in the whole...
It weaves in some Norse mythology, so it's close to that.
Yeah, I'm not up on that stuff. Nor am I up on the whole Marvel. What's the other one? DC?
DC Comics, the DC Universe, which is what did they just come out with? So it was the it's not the Avengers, it's not the Defenders, it's the other one with Batman and Wonder Woman and the other characters nobody cares about.
Yeah, yeah. See, I don't know, but I went to see Thor Ragnarok because I have a kind of a man crush on Chris Hemsworth, and it was Thanksgiving nights. We went to one of these lush hipster, movie theaters in like Brentwood, where everybody gets a recliner and like you don't even have to see the general public anywhere. And it was wonderful. We talked about that last time, but yeah, really, really good movie, man. It had had some really great people in it. Jeff Goldblum was in it. He's one of my favorites. Another movie I saw kind of along those lines, which was very disappointing. And Pipe, as a parent of young children, I wonder if you've seen this one. Guardians of the Galaxy 2. Yeah, that one we didn't see in the theater, but we ended up renting it the other night for the boys. And boy, was that a piece of trash. It was like 2.5 hours of just space stuff, like space CGI dumb things.
I didn't pay attention before I went and saw that one that Kurt Russell is in it.
Yeah.
I hate Kurt Russell as an actor. Like,
oh, let's talk about
I don't know Kurt Russell.
Yeah, because I'm a fan, man. Yeah, let's talk about
He and Kevin Costner are the two who you watch and you're like, you don't even act.
Well, Costner certainly doesn't act, but come on, Russell?
The same like nasal tone of voice. Like the one movie that I enjoyed with Tombstone. Kurt Russell in it that I can remember is Tombstone.
Yeah.
And Classic. It wasn't because of him. It's because of everybody else in that movie and because of I'm Your Huckleberry.
Oh, dude.
So
Val Kilmer was never cooler than in Tombstone.
Pipe, come on, man. Russell was great in Tombstone, dude. Come on.
No, he wasn't. The movie was fine. The movie was really enjoyable, but that part could have been played better by like half a dozen people.
Well, I mean, you can always say that though, right?
No, you cannot always say that.
Oh, okay.
Thor is perfectly played by Chris Hemsworth.
That's true.
I mean, granted, Chris Hemsworth is practically perfect in every way, as Ted can attest. Yeah. But
okay, wait, hold on. That has to be a whole other episode because I don't even know what you guys are talking about with that. That feels insane to me. With that blonde haired dude with the muscles. I mean,
I think we call that acting. Summed up why Ted likes him so
exactly.
much.
That's it.
Judas Priest, man. We're ragging on Kurt Russell, then we're calling like this Mr. Olympiad blonde dude like an actor. I mean, come on.
Okay, what has Kurt Russell been good in?
I mean, at least Kurt Russell has like a career behind him,
which is a baffling mystery to me.
Well, okay, but you, man, come on, dude.
Come what's on. Kurt Russell been in besides Tombstone? That's the thing. I know there are things, but I can't think of any of them right now.
The Love Bug back in the 1970s. What about that,
dude? Was he in that? Never mind.
The one with Herbie.
Breakdown, which was a really good movie, just kind of a random movie he did. He's been in so
dude, in my stuff, mind's man. Eye, I mix him up every once in a while with the guy from The Big Lebowski, the dude.
Jeff
Bridges. Yeah.
See, but Bridges can act and is funny.
That's true. They're both kind of,
but they're those guys that are kind of big and always have like the big hair. Kind of grizzled. Not long hair, but like big hair. Yeah.
But dude, now that you mention it, Tombstone is kind of it for Kurt Russell. I think I'm with Piper.
That's probably his defining moment. Yeah.
Big R, do you have any man crushes, like actor wise? I feel like I've been really vulnerable about that, and you have.
I know you really have, and I appreciate that. No, not because
fully yoked in that.
Not because of their looks, though, man. So to me, it's more for the acting, you know. So I really love. I do, man. I love. You just say Paul Giamatti, and I'm going to watch him in anything because I just love his voice. I just want to hear him talk. I just want to hear the guy literally talk. I don't even care what he says. I love his acting so much. I just want to hear words come out of his mouth.
Who do you like the looks of? Like, not in a gay way, but like, who do you like the looks of?
Who do I like the looks of?
I like that you need to throw that out there.
Yeah.
Because we're 12 again.
Yeah.
You know, I'll tell you what, man, just looks wise. I mean, I'll always be interested to just sit there and watch like Vince Vaughn just talk and talk and talk. You know
Dude, Vince Vaughn talking. I agree.
I mean, it's just like the combination of like the look on his face and the way he raises his eyebrow and the subtlety in the way he can, I dig all that. Like, I'm good with that. Yeah.
What are your collective feelings? Speaking of Vince Vaughn, it reminded me of this. What are your collective feelings about Owen Wilson?
I love Owen Wilson. Huge Owen Wilson supporter.
He is one of the most interesting performers to watch.
Yeah.
Just because he doesn't fit anything.
Yeah.
But he's highly entertaining.
Totally agree. Big R, what are your Owen Wilson?
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan, but I actually don't disagree with everything you guys just said. I totally agree with everything you said. I just I don't find a lot of joy in watching him. He's like the classic, like a guy that I believe is not acting. He just shows up and just that's who he is. And so there's something kind of brilliant about that. So if you love it, you love it. And he's making a lot of money for not having to do anything. But he strikes me as one of those kind of actors, right? I mean, unlike what we do on this program, which is, man, we have to prepare, we have to brush up on our skills, we have private coaches. I mean, we put a lot of effort into this.
Grind.
I don't see Owen going through any of that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know about you guys. I pull the Daniel Day-Lewis routine where I walk around acting like I'm on this program all day, every day, to stay in character.
Yeah. Oh, it's method acting. Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no doubt about it. I mean, I barely know who I am some days anymore, right? I mean, I get up there, like even I have to preach on Sunday, I'm like, wait a minute, I'm waiting for a 3-2-1 so that I can tell everybody to open the text. Sometimes that doesn't come and we stand there in silence for like 8 minutes. I don't know.
If Ted doesn't open your sermon,
it
never
doesn't
happens.
Open it. Like Big T, if you're not there, sometimes I
know. Hey, welcome to Substance Church. I am Ted Cluck, joined as always in the pulpit by Ronald J. Martin.
Like if I could just get that, I could probably start these sermons on time for once in my life. But it doesn't matter.
Call me in, put me on speaker. I'll do that for you.
Maybe I'll have you do that. Yeah, that's good. That's good.
I'd be glad to. What do you think of Daniel Day-Lewis as an actor?
Classic.
Okay.
What kind of an actor's
movies have you liked?
Actor's actor.
He's an actor's actor for sure. He's an actor.
And by the way, he's retired. He's like, I'm done. I don't need to make movies anymore.
Well, he has one more movie coming out, but it doesn't look like one of his best.
Mm. Right.
I thought he was, I mean, Last of the Mohicans was underrated.
Dude, I love that movie. It's one of our favorites, man.
Was There Will Be Blood. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yeah.
That was him, right?
Yeah.
I always get that one mixed up with the Cormac McCarthy one, but that's a different movie. I get it mixed up with No Country for Old Men. That's the one. Gangs of New York, I really wanted to like. but didn't. And then Lincoln was a spectacular performance when he did that one.
Yeah,
that's probably my fave. That's my fave Daniel Day vehicle is probably Lincoln. But yeah, I think he's kind of one of those guys that's good in everything. It's just whether you like the actual movie he's good in. I think is what it is.
He never picks an entertaining role, like a role that you're like
hard, oh, dark.
It's all dark. It's all like death and gloom, and he has
kind of the unentertaining Gary Oldman in terms of him being like a chameleon.
I feel like Gary Oldman is the unentertaining Gary Oldman. Judas, that's a
no, but reference. I mean.
But here's
you know, but I mean, like, seriously though, you know what I mean by that, right, Pipe?
I rented the other night. I read The Hitman's Bodyguard with Samuel Jackson and Ryan Reynolds, and Gary. I think Gary Oldman was in that one. If it's the one I'm thinking of, and you're like, oh wait, he will take trash roles, whereas like Daniel Day-Lewis will never take a trash role. He will only take the ones where he has to inhabit a crazy man for 6 months at a time.
Like, he only does exactly what he wants to. He's an artist. That's why. He's a true artist.
Dude, I want to see him in a trash movie. I want him to do, like, was it Bad Grandpa? Is that the one we always talk about with Bob De Niro?
That would be amazing. Is that a
Bob De Niro movie, or am I butchering the title?
That's a De Niro one.
That's a Bobby De Niro movie. I want Daniel Day-Lewis in that kind of movie. I want him to degrade himself with something like that.
Okay, so I listened to an interview the other day with what is her name? That she played the female lead in Bad Grandpa, a movie I haven't seen, but I saw enough like bits and pieces to know that it's pretty filthy. It's a what is her name? She's married to Dax Shepard, blonde lady. Anyway, listening to her talk about Robert De Niro in that film and try to like uphold him as a classic of Hollywood while talking about Bad Grandpa.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's such a pro.
It was such a spectacular like interview gymnastics effort on her part. Kristen Bell, that's who it was. And I just wanted to applaud because I'm like, I can't take anything you're saying seriously because it's Bad Grandpa. And it was a total money grab on his part.
Yeah.
But he's Robert De Niro. So what can you really say?
Right. Yeah. De Niro gets like a lifetime pass because of some movies that he did in like the 70s. But
yeah, it's kind of like Pacino, these guys. It's like their later career is really patchy, but everybody's still going back to what they did like 45 years ago.
Baby, I know what your favorite Pacino's movie is, and it's the same as mine.
No question. Why are we even talking about this right now? That's what I want to know. Not even a question.
My name is Willie Beeman. Boys, you know what that means. You know what the Willie Beeman song means. It indicates the end of the episode. And we have to get out because we have a Christmas extravaganza to tape. So I'm going to say that we have wandered to and fro throughout these topics. And until next time, Rachel the Held Evans.
The Happy Rant is brought to you by Resonate Recordings. If you go to resonaterecordings.com, you can see the full range of services they offer. So if you're considering starting a podcast, they are the ones we recommend going with. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see their prices, to connect with them and ask any questions, and to see what they can do to help you launch, edit, master, and improve your podcast. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see what they can do to help you launch and improve your podcast.
Hi, friend. Are you stressed? Maybe even worried about so many needs around you that you've forgotten you are worth taking care of too? Well, I'm Bonnie Gray, the host of Breathe, the Stressless Podcast. I want to invite you to join me as I share practical tips based on science, inspired by God's Word, to help you spark joy and restore God's peace and love to your soul. Subscribe now and go to lifeaudio.com.